And joining us on the book club this afternoon is Holly Overton. Holly was born in Chicago, and she was adopted at 6 days old, along with her identical twin sister, Heather. And believe it or not, they were carried home in matching red Christmas stockings. And it was, well, I'll let you talk a little bit more about your childhood, but you did live in Kingsville, Texas. And this book, the novel, her first novel, is called Baby Doll. It's quite an incredible thriller. In fact, when right on the cover, it's going to make you want to get it because Tess Gerritsen says, "What a compulsive read, a brilliant first novel that kept me transfixed and entertained until the very last page." And if Tess Gerritsen says that, then you better pick up this book because she does not write little baby things. Her thrillers are pretty squeamish and pretty scary. And we interviewed her one time, several times actually, and she said that one of her son's college mates said, "Dude, your mom is sick," which I guess was a compliment. But Holly, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So I just kind of let our readers, listeners know a little bit about you, the fact that you and your twin were adopted. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit more about your childhood and what led you to become interested in writing and reading.
Well, absolutely. Well, I, like you said, my sister and I were adopted when we were 6 days old, and our parents, Daryl Overton and Betty Overton, adopted us. And I found out much later, but sort of made sense for my childhood, that my father had been part of a crime gang called the Overton Gang in Austin and the surrounding areas in the 1960s. And they were nicknamed the Dixie Mafia because they were, you know, Southern gangsters robbing, selling drugs, sort of creating mayhem in that in Texas. And then my dad tried to turn his life around and they adopted us and they really tried to make a go of it. And unfortunately, he was not able to stay sober. And so my mom divorced him and we were living in Chicago, but we moved to Kingsville, Texas, which is where my mom grew up. And my sister and I had a very idyllic Texas childhood, going to football games and doing school plays. And we got really involved in theater and state one-act play competition. And I won a state performing contest and decided I wanted to be an actress. And I moved to New York City and pursued that. And for several years with not a lot of success. But I'd always been a writer and a storyteller, and it was something I kind of did for myself. And then I moved to LA to continue my acting pursuit. Didn't have a whole lot more success in that here, but I got to audition for a lot of my favorite television shows, and I really discovered my writing voice and ended up writing a sample episode of Friday Night Lights. And I think my love for Texas and that show came through. And I won a competition, which landed me a job on my first TV show, Cold Case. So my Texas roots helped me get my first big break. And I've been on the writing journey ever since.
Is this when you were accepted into the Warner Brothers Writing Workshop?
Yes, it is. And the Warner Brothers Writers Workshop is an amazing, amazing opportunity. It's a very competitive workshop. But a lot of the TV studios and networks have similar programs. Some of them you need more experience than others. But Warner Brothers was really about finding new, undiscovered writing talent. And you didn't have to have any connections to get in. You didn't have to know anybody. It was really just based on your material, the material you're writing and turning in, and then an interview. And I wrote the script. Forgot about it. I got the call. Hey, we want to meet you and discuss your future in TV and what you want to do. And I went to an interview, and a week later, they called and they offered me one of the coveted 9 spots in the program at the time. And it's basically a 8-month program, basically a writer's boot camp for TV writing, where you go to it 1 class a week, but you're writing a script while you're in your free time and then workshopping it in the group with all of your classmates. It's just an amazing, amazing opportunity. I was so fortunate to get in and to learn from, obviously, Warner Brothers executives and people who've been writing TV for years.
And so after this is over, Holly, do they provide opportunities for you to work in the TV industry as a writer?
Absolutely. So once it finishes, and you know, it's sort of like, I joke that it's boot camp, but you're being tested how you'll interact with other writers on our writer's staff, what your ideas are, all of that. And basically by the end of the program, if you succeed and they feel like you're ready, they set you up with meetings with showrunners, the people who, you know, are creating the shows that are on, that are Warner Brothers shows, and they help you get, you interview, but they help you get in the door and meet with decision makers who hire you. They get you meetings with agents and managers. And so out of the Warner Brothers workshop, the year I was in it, it was the last season of Cold Case, and fortunate enough to get to be staffed on that last season and to get representation, which I had not had until then. So it really is one of those opportunities that it can take years and years and years to kind of get that break. And I was so grateful that that script that I wrote gave me that opportunity and I was able to get my foot in the door.
We are visiting with Holly Overton. Holly is the author of the thriller Baby Doll. Holly is also a Texas native, grew up in Kingsville, Texas, and now she lives in Los Angeles with her family. But she's been discussing also about the big break that she got, not just because they want to call it lucky, but it's also the fact that she's very talented or else they wouldn't have chosen her. And that's for the Warner Brothers Writers Workshop, which is, she describes, as a boot camp basically for television screenplay writers and screenwriters. And when you started working on Baby Doll, was this before you started the Warner Brothers thing, or is this something that you'd kind of been toying around with for a while?
No, this was actually much, much later in my TV writing. It came much later in my writing pursuits. Following Cold Case, I wrote for a show called The Client List, which was on Lifetime. I wrote for 2 seasons of that. And then I was having trouble, for anyone who wants to write and sort of sees writers and thinks like, oh, their journey seems easy. There's lots of ups and downs and instability. So I was trying to find a new job and get on a new TV show, and it's very competitive and I was struggling. And the idea for Baby Doll came about during this sort of time of unemployment when I was frustrated and jobless and also planning my wedding. And I happened to be watching the news when the Ariel Castro story broke about the man who had taken 3 women and held them captive for 10 years. And I really kept thinking not about him, but about the women, and that they were such survivors. And that was really the inspiration. So in some ways, I just loved writing Baby Doll. And in some ways, I think like the fact that I was unemployed and not working on TV at the time didn't seem like a good thing. But now I'm just so grateful for that time because I was able to write this novel that I'm just so proud of.
This is a novel that it's unusual in the way that it opens, because other than dealing on the turmoil and what went on in that room where this young lady is a teen and then her daughter later are held, it opens up with them getting out and escaping. Why did you decide to do it that way?
Well, you know, I think there's, and obviously there's some great novels. Emma Donoghue wrote a beautiful novel called Room about captivity and being held. And I never really wanted to, like, from the very start, this, to me, it wasn't a story about what happened in the past. It's about the future. And I always say it's about the aftermath of that situation and how you survive such terrible things. And I really wanted to tell a survivor story and not sort of dwell on the, like, torment or torture that the character had to endure. I think we've seen enough and read enough and kind of know enough about that story that we can fill in the blanks. I think the reader can fill it in as horrible as, you know. But for me, it was like just being able to explore what happens next and how to create a thriller based on the aftermath, which I think makes Baby Doll different from some of the other novels that might have kind of similar elements.
And one thing that stands out in this book as well is that a lot of times we think of the abductor as being some mean ex-con, just horrible man. And in your novel, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that this guy is prominent in the town.
He is. He's a prominent, respected, good-looking, charming man that everybody in town loves. And I really, like, to me, that's what I wanted to explore. I've always been sort of, like, weirdly fascinated by sociopaths and, like, serial killers, like a Ted Bundy and these kind of people who just on the surface, I think, in society, we tend to give people sort of the benefit of the doubt if they're good looking, if they're successful. We're always surprised when something bad comes out about them. And, you know, having watched the Castro story and watched, read a lot about these kinds of individuals, some of them definitely look like people you would say, like, oh, of course, like you said, like an ex-con, or he kind of has a deranged look in his eye. But those are the people that get caught. And I just think that there's a lot of people probably out there, which is scary to think about, but people that are hiding, very evil people, like hiding in plain sight. And we don't expect that of them because they are standing individuals. And so that's really what I wanted to explore with the antagonist in Baby Doll.
We're visiting with Holly Overton. Holly is the author of the thriller Baby Doll. This is something also that the fact that you take us through this roller coaster ride, it's a lot of thrills, very psychological, but at the same time, you're very good about not being too graphic and not taking us into some of these horrible things.
You know, and that was mostly intentional. In an earlier draft, Baby Doll, the story is told from four perspectives. The twin sisters, Lily and Abby, their mother, Eve, and the abductor, Rick. And I'd had a fifth perspective, which was the sheriff, who was part of this whole thing while the girls were missing. And we got a little bit more detail about what she'd been through. And it just ended up feeling like too much. And it ended up feeling like I just felt like, because again, I didn't want to wait kind of the experiences that these girls had been through. So for me, that was my point where I was like, okay, this character is not really pushing things forward and not really adding value. And also, like, I didn't think that including those details made it a stronger book. And I think you still feel the terrible, almost the absence of the girls. And, you know, you still feel all those things without really getting explicit about it.
Without spoiling it for our listeners who may have not read the book yet, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, because we talked about the fact that Lily has been a prisoner for 8 years, mm-hmm. and now the book opens as she and her daughter escape. So set up now what happens.
So, you know, what happens next is Lily escaping and reconnecting with her twin sister, Abby, her mother, Eve. But it's also about making sure that the man who took her gets justice. And for Lily, knowing who he is and who he is to her, but also who he is in the community, it's about her kind of taking control and making sure he gets captured and gets justice, but on her terms. Because for 8 years, she's sort of had to, you know, he sort of controlled her and manipulated her and dominated her. And so I think the twist in the book as it goes on is her really taking control and doing that. But it's also about reconciling her own life and what happened. She's been gone and a lot of things have happened that she never anticipated. You can't go home again, right, is a very true saying. But what happens when you go home and your life stopped 8 years before, but everybody else moved on? And that's really where the journey Baby Doll takes us on. And really, I think the satisfying thing is will the abductor get the justice he deserves? And that's the thriller element that plays out throughout Baby Doll.
And were you satisfied with the way, again, you're the author, you wrote this guy, I don't want to give anything away, but were you satisfied from what you've heard from readers who have read the story? You've gotten some very good reviews.
I'm very, very satisfied. And sometimes the not good reviews kind of stay with you, so I had to stop reading. Unless someone tells me it's good, then I'll read it. Because then that thing gets in your head about, it could have been better. And it's a dangerous thing for a writer, especially once a piece of work is written. But I've been very, very, just so, like, flattered. And when people email me, I've had people say, like, I couldn't go to bed. I read this in one sitting, and you ruined my weekend because I stayed up so late reading. And for me, that's the greatest, greatest thing, because those are the books that stay with me as well. I grew up reading thrillers and loving them. So when people say those things about it, you feel like, okay, now I've done my job as a writer. And it really is. It sounds so cliche to say it, but it really is a dream come true, because as someone who always thought, I'd like to write a book, but it's so hard, it's impossible. It's really not. I mean, if I can do it, anyone can. I always say that. So it's been just very, very exciting. And we just published in the U.S. yesterday. And, you know, I've already gotten such incredible feedback in the last few weeks.
Because it got some very good reviews in the U.K., am I right?
Yes, it did. We launched a couple weeks previous to the U.S. launch in the U.K., and we've gotten really, really great press and a great write-up in the U.K., and that's been really fun for me. My husband is British, so it's great that all of our family over there is getting to see Baby Doll and getting to experience all of that. So, you know, writing a novel is very difficult. Selling a novel is very difficult, especially as a first-time novelist, so I kind of understand. People keep pointing out, and I'm like, I know that it's a very unique experience, and I'm just really grateful that people are connecting with it and they're enjoying the read.
We're visiting with Holly Overton. Holly is the author of the thriller Baby Doll. Holly, some people might say, well, wouldn't it be harder to write a screenplay because you have to keep it fresh, and you have to write for an 8-week, 8-episode series or 16-week episode series, wouldn't that be more difficult, more pressure on you?
I think writing TV is a different, and films too, but especially TV, it's harder in a different way because as a novelist, I'm new at this, but you're on your own, you make your own deadlines, you have your own timetable, and it's also your own vision. The great thing about being a TV writer is all collaboration, it's everyone coming together, but it is a very, very fast pace. You'll write a script in 5 weeks, you could be on set filming it. It is a very different process. It's hard in TV. You don't necessarily have time to be precious because you don't have 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years. Some novelists can. You have to make it as good as you can within the time constraints that you're allotted. So it's nice to be able to kind of, for me anyway now, to do both because I get to like take my time with my novels and then go and flex those fast-paced muscles where the pace is relentless.
What about, and I'm not sure if anybody has pitched this to you yet, I'm sure it's going to come along in that screenplay writing. And how would you describe the difference between screenplay writing and television screenplay writing?
You know, I think writing a feature, obviously, it's much more, in some ways it's contained. You can't, it's like a faster paced story. You don't have as much time. The characters in a feature tend to change more quickly. In TV, they sort of evolve slowly. If your character changes too much, your show is over. Like, you can't, your character, the journey is just a little slower. I've definitely focused more in my screenwriting career of doing TV, also because I think TV, in some ways, there's a lot more freedom in storytelling. Features now, it's more big action blockbusters and comic book movies, and some of the smaller, more character-driven movies aren't being made. Much harder to get them made. And I think that's why we're seeing so much great television now, because a lot of these writers who are telling these stories are going to TV. So it's definitely a challenge. I just finished the feature adaptation of Baby Doll, and we'll see. It all depends on how the book does and whether or not it has a feature on the big screen. But it was definitely, I hadn't written a feature in a while, so, and especially adapting your own work. So it was definitely a challenge, but it was fun to do. I don't know if I'd want to focus on features. TV and novels are really where I see myself staying for a while.
What about, you know, being in where we live now with social media, with phone books, tablets, Kindles, everything's available. Not only can you take a book wherever you want, a novel wherever you want, but also books on tape, as it used to be called, and obviously they're not on tape, they're on CD, or you can download them. But now they've become very much desirable as well, because no longer are you just having somebody with a great voice read a book, but you're having dramatized, almost like radio drama in 30 hours.
I'm the biggest audiobook fan. I love audiobooks. I live in Los Angeles, and the traffic here is obviously well known for being terrible, and it's the one thing that's kept me going on my commute. And it really is. I mean, when you get a great audiobook, even if I wasn't a writer, just hearing, they'll have brilliant actors, hearing them tell you a story, it just changes everything. And I think certain books that I've read that I like and that I listened to and I loved, like The Road is one of my favorite audiobooks of all time. And you know you've got a good audiobook when you get to your destination and you don't want to get out of your car because the story has just sucked you in. And so I think that's the great part about being able to take the great part about the technology. I have a Kindle and I read a lot on the Kindle. I also order books more now because I love, like, I went through a phase of just doing Kindle, and now I kind of love the tactile thing of holding a book. But I think it's just great because there's so many opportunities for people to discover new books.
And as you mentioned, some audiobooks, the way they're presented are just incredible, and you're like, my gosh, I want to listen to this again and again and again. And what you just mentioned, The Road, is that the one by Cormac McCarthy?
Yes, the Cormac McCarthy. And I'm blanking on the narrator, but I think he's a well-known. He does a lot of audiobooks. And just the way he reads and just his delivery, it's so chilling. And like at some point, if it was late at night, I'd have to like turn off the audiobook if I was driving. And I was like, I'll listen to the rest of this tomorrow morning. Because I felt it, and it was so powerful. And I listened to it. I mean, I'd read the book, but I listened to it a couple of times, and so did my husband. Sometimes when you're reading, you might be reading more for story, and you sort of miss some of the poetry. And when you're listening to an audiobook, I think you get all of that.
And Cormac McCarthy was actually a professor here at UT El Paso a while back.
I did not realize that. Yeah. How amazing is that?
Yes. So what about when you're talking about audiobooks and presenting them, what about your book, your novel, Baby Doll? Is it available on Audible?
It is. It is available. It's on Audible and at Barnes & Noble. And I actually love the Baby Doll audiobook. I was fortunate enough to, obviously living in L.A., I have friends who are actors. So I was lucky enough to suggest a couple of actors that I knew, Jenna Lamia and McLeod Lewis. And they were incredibly talented. They've done a lot of audiobooks, but they ended up recording. Jenna does the twins, Lily and Abby, and McLeod reads Rick. And I think they just brought the characters to life in such a great way. And McLeod is a very creepy bad guy. And I love the dynamic of the twins that Jenna brought. So I think it's a really, really, I mean, even though it's my book, so I'm slightly biased, I think it's a really entertaining read. And hearing it, I think it's a really great audiobook as well.
And in your life, you have a twin sister, as we talked about at the beginning of the program. So did you figure tying that into your novel, your twin sister?
Oh, absolutely. That was really when I was thinking about the aftermath of a situation like this. I thought about what would happen. My twin sister and I, we both did theater together in high school. We moved to New York City, 19 years old, to go to college. We worked at the same restaurants through college and had all the same friends. And we were just so close. And I just couldn't imagine how different our lives would have been without each other. And then there are just a lot of elements in Baby Doll that are kind of stolen from life. And after I finished the book and we were about to get it published, my sister, who'd read every draft, every incarnation of it from page one, she finally realized, oh my gosh, I'm Abby. She didn't even realize. So there's a lot of my, and you know, obviously that character, the one character, Abby, is a much heightened version of my sister. But there's a lot of her in there and a lot of moments from our, like the fight over a black sweater that goes missing. That's kind of an important element in the book. That was true. So it was kind of nice to bring some of my own relationship with my sister into, it's obviously a work of fiction, but it sort of made it feel a little more real to me and hopefully to the readers.
Well, hopefully, Holly, we have baited the hook and people who haven't read Baby Doll will rush out and grab this and also... You've kind of got me whetting my appetite also to listen to the Audible because I love audiobooks as well. And we want to know, do you have a Facebook page or what's the best way that people can find out more about you and your work?
They can visit me on my website, which is hollyoverton.com, HOLLIEOVERTON, or they can connect with me on Twitter. I'm always happy to connect with listeners and also anybody who is wanting to get into writing. I teach TV writing at a company called Script Anatomy here in LA. So if anybody has any questions, I think the writer's journey, it's often a bit of a solitary one. And it's often a bit of, you know, there's a lot of disappointments in a writer's career. And I think connecting with people and knowing that, like, you know, don't give up, just keep writing and keep trying, because you never know what story you're going to tell next that might be the one that inspires people and gets you noticed.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to be with us here. We've been visiting with Holly Overton. She is the author of the thriller Baby Doll. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, it has some great reviews from some top people. One of the main ones being Tess Gerritsen. And the name again is Baby Doll. Holly, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Andrea Granado. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.